Buddy, you're coming on early tonight, baby. Buddy, boo. Hello, bird. Birds everywhere here. Baby, come on. We got the show here. You're right here, see? Around here these days, he perks up, and away he goes. So anyhow, hopefully you'll have your flamethrower by Christmas.
That'll be wonderful. I'm having a lot of people coming through now, so the flamethrower is only going to make it better.
Yeah, tell me what's been going on. You've been out riding in your Cobra, I guess, huh?
Well, it's 10 degrees here, so...
Oh, that's perfect weather for Cobra riding.
Yeah, for sure. What I've been doing, basically, is my meditation room at home. I'm having a lot of visitors coming through, and also I've had for the last 3 days a lot of people around me that are pure white light. Some of them are very tall, and some of them are very short. Very short, I mean 6'6", 6 feet, something of that nature.
That's
and
short.
I believe they're Andromedans because I've never seen Palladians before, but I have seen Andromedans, and for some odd reason, they've been around me for the last 3 days. So that it's really quite interesting to see them.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that's really, really great. In my meditation room, I've had a lot of things happening in terms of people coming through the walls. They look like they're very holy people, and I treat them as such. And so they look like, some of them look like prophets, but I'm not exactly sure. But I have one that comes through that he has lightning coming from his hands. Very, very interesting to see.
That sounds cool. How often does he come in?
He comes in once in a while with about 3 or 4 others. They really look like prophets. They're about maybe about 4'9", 5 feet, something of that nature. And they seem to be very, very holy people. So, again,
those Chinese masters were real short.
Well, these were, I don't know if they were Hebrews or Christians or whatever. I don't know. I don't know who they are, but they're very beautiful people. And the room, the energy in the room just changes drastically when they come through the walls. So I guess maybe I must be doing something right. So.
Yeah, well, you see, Buddy's channeling the energy right now because you're talking about it.
Yes.
Normally very quiet when we do a show.
Right.
But when the energy is
look
so
at
high,
that.
Yeah,
that's
when he's a spiritual bird, he starts talking. So when you talk about these guys, he's like, hey, I know them, you know.
Right. So something's going on really big. And I presume that when we get the flamethrower, it'll even come through even more. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we got the boxes today. They showed up. It takes a special box to ship one of those.
Yes.
I wanted to ship a month ago because it's been sitting out there in the shop waiting to ship. But finally, it'll get shipped. And you should have it by Christmas, so it'll be our Christmas present. And it actually, you actually earned that thing last year by handling the phones when we were moving.
Well,
so it's a year late. So you know what? You guys don't think we deliver late. Well, we do. we can run a year back ordered, but the bottom line is it's cool when it gets there.
Yes, absolutely. It gets here when it needs to get here, Fred.
Yeah, it's coming.
Everything's in perfect order, so, you know, I'm not worried about it one bit. So, but the energies are very, very powerful now. And I've had 4 or 5 of these. They look like Andromedans. Remember the one that you had in the cornfield?
Yeah, one of the cornfields by the tree.
Right, and that's, they're very bright white light. And
they have rainbow colors in them, and they have a human-like or a physical being-like presence. And then the one that we saw in the, avocado grove, that tree is probably 40 feet tall.
Wow.
That Andromedan is getting up towards the top of it.
Wow.
That's a big tree. Yeah, when you come out here in February.
Yeah, that'll be wonderful. We're doing a show in February, aren't we?
Yeah, 12th through the 14th, I believe.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
Subconscious Living Expo, you know?
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And welcome that's all wonderful. The new Ustreamers. We got a lot of people coming on. It was funny, last week everybody was out Christmas shopping, but tonight they're not.
Really?
No, they're all on the air tonight. They're all watching the audience tonight.
Yeah. Well, it's really wonderful that they're, you know, really using the Ustream and coming on the air. That's really wonderful.
I wish you could get yourself a computer so we can do
I'm working on it, Fred. I got things to do here, but I'm working on a computer. Hopefully in a couple of weeks I'll have one here. because I want to see your face. I want to be able to laugh.
Yeah, I got a hell of a face. Everybody, I go downtown, and you know what? Halloween is the perfect time for me to go out because I just put a hat on and everybody laughs at me. I don't have to dress up like a clown. You know, I just look like one. It's great.
Yeah, but you have such a beautiful face, so you're very lucky.
Yeah, I have a nice face.
and the thing is that you don't have any marks on your face, so you're very young.
Bite marks from the birds, but other than that, we're cool, you know.
Yeah, but your face always looks young. Anytime I've ever seen you, it's always looked young.
So anyway, my hair is thinning out, though, a little bit now.
Yeah, well, I have no hair, so I don't worry about that too
much.
Look
at this hair. It's thinning out. I mean, I'm going to look like Donald Trump pretty soon, you know.
Nobody will look like Donald Trump. He's got hair that I wouldn't, you know, even if I wanted hair, I wouldn't want his hair.
Well, they call it, the style that he wears is called the Barish. Spelled B-A-R-I-S-C-H.
Yeah.
It's one extra letter from your name, the Barish. You're Barish, and it's Barish.
He's quite an interesting guy.
Yeah, he should be on the show. We'll get him on the show. I just haven't had time to get a lot of guests on. And we're waiting to get this book published so that we can get the price down, because they're $88 now. The first 1,000 always cost that much, but
it'll be
like $25 or something when they're 20, 30 at the most when the publishing comes out.
Yeah.
And then we'll get all the guys on. I'll send them out to all the physicists and all my, like Kip Thorne is in there. He's probably getting a Nobel Peace Prize for the gravity with LIGOs. And Michio Kaku is probably going to get something pretty soon. He's been already. We'll get him back on after he reads the book.
That would be great.
Leonard Susskind wants to come on. He wants to read the book. I just want to get the books in. Before I bring these heavyweights on, I really want to get the book ready for mass quantities. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's such an interesting book. I mean, it's just...
Well, we're in the big publishers, and they really... You know, I can't name the publishers, but we're in some of the biggest New York publishers. They're looking at the book. They like it.
Yeah.
Won't make a decision on it because they don't do that during the holidays. So the timing was a little off because the book got released in September. We got it out to the publishers in October, and they don't look at it till November. And so they just start, because they're backed up. These guys get hundreds of books every day, you know.
Yeah. Well, your book is so interesting.
Well, you've been reading a little of it. I'm glad.
Yeah, I've been reading, the Bermuda Triangle and the stealth technology. There's so much going on. I hope people really get turned on with this book because there's so much information that's really true. And I think people will wake up to the fact that, the Philadelphia Experiment, different things of that nature really happened. And yeah. As a matter of fact, I think
we didn't call it the Philadelphia Experiment. We had a number, some number, it's all it was when I worked on it.
Really? Yeah, you've got one of the, one of the pieces of electronic there, don't you, or something for that?
Yeah, that's a good point. I was going to put it on eBay.
Really?
Yeah, it belongs to Tim Gunn, and he got it from one of the guys that was on the USS Eldridge.
Right.
Yeah, I was just going through my pictures the other day. I downloaded them into my computer. Put that piece of gear, it's a Leeds controller, Leeds and Northrop controller is what it is, a big black box. It looks brand new.
Right.
And what it did is it's a box about 12 inches by 12 inches by 12 inches, about a foot square, It's a black box, it's beautiful, and you open it up, and it's got a whole bunch of relays in it, and some... mechanical programming. This is 1943 or 44 when this was done, 47 actually, I think.
Right.
And right after, it's funny, right around Roswell time, so it might have had an influence on it. So anyway, what this box did is that you programmed it mechanically, and it had a, click, 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 town. It all worked. Mm-hmm. It worked, too. It functioned.
Right.
And I have a letter with it to verify that it's off the Eldridge, by some colonel or something.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to think where that thing is. I don't know if it's over here. It's in Laguna. But anyway, what it did is it in the Eldridge in the bottom of it, they had all these coils. You follow me? And there was rows of coils in the bottom. And those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, the USS Eldridge was a boat that teleported from New Jersey down to Norfolk, Virginia, and back. Mm-hmm. Was it New Jersey? Was it
Philadelphia?
Philadelphia. I'm sorry, Philadelphia to the shipyard down in near Chesapeake Bay,
right,
Virginia. And I actually have been in both of those shipyards back when I had my electronics company. I visited both of them.
Right,
this was back in the 60s.
Right.
But anyway, in the bottom of that ship were all these rows and rows of coils.
Right.
And the Eldridge was a converted minesweeping boat.
Right.
And what happened was they got into... back in 1942, when several minesweepers would be coming up from the equator, mines out in the Philippines and in Japan, and also coming in from Europe, sweeping mines off the coast of France, Normandy, and all those countries in Italy.
Right.
The minesweeper cannot, it's a metal boat with some wood, and it cannot be magnetized. If it's magnetized, it will set the mines off. So it's not a mine,
right,
it gets blown up. So when you point a compass towards the north, the compass needle goes to the north because the Earth has a magnetic field about 16 degrees off center of the true north. You know?
Right, right.
So what happens is these minesweepers get magnetized by the Earth's magnetic field, and they're useless. So they have to come up to these different shipyards, the one in Philadelphia and the one at Norfolk, Virginia.
Right.
Newport News actually was the town it was in. And they have to be, they have these huge coils. The ship actually goes through a giant coil. It's in the water, and it goes back and forth. It's an alternating current. It degausses the ship so it's no longer magnetized.
Right.
That's
right,
what,
right.
And so what happened was, the way this all started was that the minesweepers were coming up through the Bermuda Triangle. They always had to be like a mile apart, and they always kept a radar. The radar was crude, but it was there. It existed. And the radar, they radared each other so they didn't crash, because if two of these big ships get on a collision course, there's nothing you can do to stop it if it's so heavy. So you have to keep them a mile apart, because it takes them a half a mile to make a turn.
Right, right, right.
So what happened is, in the Bermuda Triangle, during certain times, they couldn't... see each other on radar anymore, yet they had the visible sight of, they could see themselves physically, but there's no radar. That was the beginning of the stealth technology that led up into the F-117 and the B-2 bomber and all that. That was the beginning of it.
Right.
And so the Philadelphia experiment was an experiment that was conducted along the lines of making these boats invisible to each other. Why was this happening? And so they started playing around with it, and what they found out is that they ended up teleporting a ship, and that's what I worked on, that experiment. That was called the Philadelphia experiment.
Right.
So what happened is, this leads in north of controller that I have here. It probably ought to go to Southby's or something. I was going to put it on eBay. I think I'll send it over to Southby's in New York. It controlled all the relays that turned all these different coils on to make all these functions. So it's called a controller, and that's what it did. But it was a control box to energize. It's the same thing on your car. You have a solenoid makes the starter motor work, because the switch would burn up. You have to have a solenoid that's quick, makes a quick connection, because your starter motor takes a couple hundred amps to turn your car motor over.
This box
was designed to do. It energized many, many different solenoids. So, yeah, we have it. I'm glad. It's funny you bring that up tonight.
Yeah, I was just, it's one of the things I was reading about the Bermuda Triangle, and the vortex left over from the scalar wave warfare.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, the information you have here. I never knew about 12,500 years ago.
Atlantis. Yeah. What book are you reading now? Are you quoting out of Rays of Truth or the other one?
No, I'm reading The Inside Track.
Oh, okay.
I've
written
book.
So many books, I can't even remember them all. With all
right.
I didn't know that was in that book. I forgot about it already.
It's really fabulous. And there's so much information that you have here. I'm just amazed that you have this information. It's just...
Oh, I have it.
Yeah.
Some of it's still classified.
I know you do.
Buddies in the government said, you know, some of this is classified. I said, yeah, I know.
Yeah. The I got to tell you, the nuclear receptor is firing off. I'm looking at my back, and it's actually firing a star. It's very white and blue and yellow, and it's firing through my body. So I presume the people are having the same thing. Now, I got a message from a young man who said he was wearing his nuclear receptor and got very tired, and I wrote him a message saying that he was detoxifying.
Definitely.
About an hour or two, and then he was okay. But to let people know that these things are really real, and I'm watching a star firing from my back all through my body. So it's really amazing. It's an amazing tool, and the projector itself is so powerful that I could just barely touch the kind of energy that it's throwing off now. So I'm just finding it very interesting, Fred. The whole thing is just...
I got a letter from my patent attorney today, and patents were pending on the projector, but I think they're... I told you we had that funny roundabout discussion with the patent office.
Yes.
On the name of it. They don't want to call it the projector. They've named my projector something else, but it's a copyrighted name, so it doesn't matter. But
drawings are
all there. But I think the patent has been approved now, because I got another $100 bill from my patent attorney. It costs a lot of money to patent something.
Yeah, that's what I understand. I have a patent attorney.
$5,000, you know?
Yeah. I have a patent attorney that I massage, and he says things cost an awful lot of money.
They do. And they charge my patent attorney charges $300 an hour, and it took him a whole hour.
Yeah.
About an hour and a half to deal with the patent office with a stupid lady. The lady calls up and says, "We don't want to call it the projector." You know? And that's $400 to talk to massage her, you know, and give her another name. I don't, you know, and then they have to call me, and I have to, you know, they're the go-betweens of the patent office.
Yes.
The receptor, when I got that patent, it was a little easier. I don't know how many patents I got going on the projector. At least one, maybe two. Maybe even four, I don't know. It's pretty complex. But, when you get a patent on something, but then quantum biology, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool stuff.
And the FDA likes it, too, so.
Right. Let's give out the phone number for people to call us. It's
Go ahead and give it out.
1-888-815-9756. That's worldwide. Out in California, it's 1-530-876-3222 and 1-530-876-9911. And if you need to call us, please do. We're more than happy to answer any of your questions. And thank you.
Yeah.
So,
you're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show.
Absolutely.
You know, the new people.
Absolutely. It's the best show on BBS.
Yeah. Then we're talking about the projector and the patents coming in on it. And Steve, of course, is having some experiences back there.
Yeah, the experiences I'm having, the projector that I'm wearing is pure platinum. And it's so powerful that I don't take it off. And I just see so many different dimensions with it. It's just... a very multi-dimensional piece of equipment. I had a gold one, but it doesn't touch the energy of the platinum one. Not that the gold. I remember having a gold one, and it was extremely powerful.
You were lucky. You know what? Platinum is at 1426.
Is it really?
$1,426 an ounce right now.
Oh, wow.
Gold's at 1105.
Isn't that amazing?
But I hate to see my bill. Yeah, I mean, you lucked out. You got that back when the platinum was $900 an ounce.
Right.
I told a lot of my clients, I said, you know, when you buy one of those things when platinum's down to $900 an ounce, you're saving about $18,000, you know.
Yeah,
You know, the cost of shaping it and all that stuff, it's about half price.
Right, right.
So you lucked out.
Yeah, I did. I really wanted it, and I'm so glad I did because the dimensions are so strong, and they're coming through even stronger. So it's a lot of fun to use it. It's quite interesting, very, very interesting. The gold was very grounding, and the platinum is grounding, but I can see a lot more with the platinum than I did with the gold. So it's like a grade up. It's just incredible. Of course, you know, you have to grow into this thing. It's not.
Well, you know, people sometimes balk at the price, and you're not a what I would call you're a wealthy man in spirit, but financially, I know that you're not quite on Tiger Woods' level, right? You're just a little bit.
That's for sure. But I
you
saved
bought
for
this thing, you know, with sweat and blood, and
yes.
I know it took you a lot of your income for quite a while to pay for it, but was it worth it?
Oh, Fred, I've never had anything this powerful before, so there's no comparison between this and even the gold one I was wearing. So it's just, it's absolutely incredible. They both do a beautiful job, but the platinum one is just, it's never-ending.
Yeah.
The gold one was never-ending, but it's not at this level.
Yeah, I've always had platinum. I mean, gold. I've always made myself gold ones because I personally cannot really afford to buy a platinum receptor. I mean, a projector right now. They're not cheap. Even my car.
Well, yeah. Even I mean, I don't have a lot of money, but I do save my money for the equipment that I buy from you because I know it works, and I really wanted this platinum projector.
Yeah.
And it's really, it's just fantastic. I can't tell you the amount of energy and what I'm seeing through this projector. I've never seen it before. So I know it's working, and, I've got these people around me all the time now for the last 3-4 days.
Yeah, your energy seems to be back up where it used to be, or even higher now.
Yes. And so these, there's 4 or 5. They have to be Andromedan, and they're extremely, extremely beautiful people, and they're around me all the time. I have one; his hand is on my shoulder right now. So the energy that they move forward and come through is just absolutely beautiful.
So how's your health doing now?
The health is doing better. I'm starting to do a lot more massages, and I'm walking every day, and I'm eating 10 tons of vegetables, and so
I'm a green. I can live on mashed potatoes, green beans, corn, and salad, and artichokes, and avocados, and tomatoes.
Yeah,
and onions, and I can live on that forever.
Yeah, I love spinach. I don't know why I love spinach.
Oh, I love spinach, but we haven't had any out here in a while.
Oh, yeah, they don't have any.
That's fresh. I mean, yeah, you can go get it. You can get it at the supermarket, but I like, you know, fresh right out of the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a greenhouse. We're going to grow our own. We haven't put it together yet, though.
That is so cool. You're going to have a greenhouse. That's beautiful.
I got it halfway done. That's all busy over the holidays with all our clients.
Yeah.
That the greenhouse is partially done, you know, and so anyway, you know, the greenhouse needs to be finished. We got, you know, it's a big greenhouse. I bought it from, where did I buy that from? Northern Tool or somewhere. It only cost like $750, but it's big. It's 10 by 12, and it doesn't have that plastic, you know, clear cellophane kind of like paper on it. It's actually got, you know, real sandwiched windows and stuff on it. But they don't tell you, you know, it's a $3,000 or $4,000 greenhouse for $700, but they don't tell you it costs $3,000 or $4,000 to put it together.
Wow!
Yeah.
Wow, that's wild.
Totally, it's time consuming. When you got a few minutes to work, you go out and work on the greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
It still isn't put together. We've worked on it for a month now.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like you're having a lot of fun now.
Oh yeah, I worked on my tractor today and got the seat on it. My Farmall. We have a H Farmall tractor and a John Deere hay wagon. You know,
right,
it's a big,
beautiful
hay wagon from John Deere.
Yeah.
Well, it's an antique, but it's like it's got these wheels on it that are gorgeous. You know, it's all green. It's all like brand new. It's very old. The tractor is very old. The tractor is 1947.
Wow.
And I restored it And oh yeah, I restored a tractor. I've actually restored a bulldozer and a tractor.
That's incredible.
And, yeah, and the tractor looks like it's brand new off the showroom floor.
That's incredible. Farmall
for you farmers out there, from 1947. It's 60 some years old.
Yeah.
60, what, 3 years old?
63.
And it looks brand new. It's got beautiful red. It's got decals. It starts up, boom, just touch the starter and it starts up. And I hook it up to the hay wagon and I get all the neighborhood kids, you know, on the thing, and off we go with a hayride.
Oh, that's nice. That's really
it'll hold
nice.
About, the trailer is like, it's got to be 15 feet long and 8 feet wide. It's a heavy trailer.
Wow.
And it holds 6 hay bales, 3
wow.
on each side. That gives you an idea of the length. And
that's big.
And then on the back of the trailer, it has a stairway going up. You know, like an old caboose where you step off. There's a platform on the back and stairs going off on either side and a railing on the very back.
Yes.
Has that on the back, and then the tail light is a real kerosene burning John Deere colored lantern.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it's totally a parade item. It's totally a freight item. And I bought that, you know, out here. And
right.
I bought the tractor over in Iowa. And I had my buddy, because I've had so many cars over the years, my buddy just hauled it over here for next to nothing. It was great.
That's fantastic.
And earlier in the summer, I restored the thing. The trailer was already restored. And it has spoked wheels, yellow spoked wheels. It's so pretty. And we take that puppy down the road, and boy, do we get looks.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I like tractors. I put headlights on it, and I got some taillights to put on it.
There's a person here in near Batavia, and he collects antique tractors and rebuilds them.
Really?
Yeah. And
how much does he sell?
He doesn't sell them, Fred. He collects them for himself.
He keeps them. Yeah, that's where I got my trailer from. A collector. He had some nice tractors down there.
I bet he did.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that do that, Fred. It's a big thing now.
Yeah, I guess I'm ahead of the curve.
Yes, you are.
I've gone from restoring Corvettes and Rolls Royces to tractors. I restored a bulldozer. It's called a Walden wheel loader.
Uh-huh.
I restored that. It weighs 7 tons.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how I built my pond. I have a huge pond I built here. It's beautiful. I had a radio-controlled boat out on my pond yesterday.
Right.
And it hauls butt, you know, until I got one. I messed up one of the U-joints, but I got a whole bunch of radio controlled boats, sailboats and stuff, and we have a pond. We put the pond in and we run them on there, you know. It's a good stress relief.
That's great.
Yeah.
Does the state come in and put fish in your pond?
No, I haven't put fish in it because we have big rains out here.
Oh, you do.
And I didn't want the rainwater to go into it. We fill it from the. We have a artesian water out here from artesian
water. Oh,
we fill it with that, and I didn't want rainwater in it. So what happened was, I have a ridge around the pond, and so we're up on a hill, and the pond's partway down, and so I had to make. We had heavy rains out here. We had 3 inches here in Temecula. So
wow.
And Fallbrook. So I made sure I had to make some adjustments in the terrain around the pond, so the water didn't go in the pond, the runoff. It's kind of sad to have to do that, but that's the rain is polluted.
Oh, it is polluted.
Oh, yeah, it's radioactive, and it's got a lot of, out here in California, it's either acid or alkaline rain.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'll mess your car up, the first rain here.
I remember when we used to sell BMWs, we would get them in from acid rains, you know, and we'd have to repaint them.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, out here where we're at, it's a lot cleaner. In Laguna Beach, forget it.
Yeah.
But out here in Fallbrook, it's a lot more mellow. We're in a microenvironment.
Right.
And the rainwater's not so bad. But still, when it runs down the road, it's got picking up silt and stuff, and you don't want that in your pond. So I had to put an overflow in the pond. I had to do some, you know, additional engineering to make sure it was all working right. And now the algae's in there, and it's eating up the leaves, and now we have two waterfalls on the pond. The pond is 80 feet across and 80 by 80 feet. It's a big pond, 80 by 80, and it holds close to 150,000 gallons. We've I did some physics on it.
Yeah.
Got two waterfalls that are about 10 feet tall with about, 150 tons of rocks on each one of them because I moved them
right,
and pulled over
right,
there. They're
right,
huge.
Right. Yes.
And so two waterfalls will be going down. I haven't plumbed it yet because I wanted to, and I had to put an overflow in the pond because it rained so hard, I almost overflowed the pond.
Right, right, right.
I put an overflow in it, and so now I have pickup joints, built into. I had to bust out cement, put pipes underneath, I'm first pond I've designed like this.
Right.
So now I'm getting a couple horsepower motor, and these huge waterfalls will be throwing water down from each side of the pond. Then I put the fish in because you got to aerate the water.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, that's what. And I had to put chlorine in there originally. Keep the algae down, and because we don't want them to have a mosquito breeding ground. So that's all been done, and now the rains are coming. So now I'll hook up the waterfalls. I'll put the big pumps in, and then we'll put some fish in. Oh, we're going to put koi in it, I think.
Yeah, koi are beautiful.
Yeah, they're not cheap though.
They're not cheap.
No. So anybody who wants to donate money to the koi cause, just send it out to Paradise. I mean, it'll cost me $1,000 to put a few of those in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they get pretty big, don't they? They get about 1 or 2 feet big.
And this pond, they'll get 3 feet long.
Will they really?
Oh, yeah. And this is a big pond.
Wow.
150,000 gallons, 80 by 80. It's like a little lake. Yeah. They'll get about 3 feet long.
That's
as big as they'll get. And you buy them, and they're about 8 inches long.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And they get that big. That's amazing.
Well, they're basically goldfish, but they're so pretty.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. I think, weren't they Japanese at one point or other, and they came over here?
Yeah.
Were brought over here?
Yeah, they were brought over here in real high-end places. I built the waterfalls. We have a golf course down the road from us.
Right.
About 8 miles, and they have a koi pond down there and the waterfalls, and I kind of copied their ideas.
Right, right.
I mean, I had, when we were cementing this thing, it took a complete... one whole load of cement, a big truck, just to cement the waterfalls. Forget the
That's amazing.
Many trucks that put the cement in for the basic, the pond part is all cement.
Yeah.
The very center of the pond is not cement. It's clay with a wrapper. I wanted it to breathe into the ground. But
right.
If you set the bottom of it completely, rather than put a sealant, I just put a fiberglass, like a canvas.
Right.
Special pond sealer, but not that big, thick rubber thing that they sell you. Because you want your pond to grow to bond with the earth, and you want feedback from the earth. So 3 feet of the bottom of the pond, which is about a third of it, is not cement.
Yeah.
It feeds the energy back, because cement kills the energy coming up from the earth going into the fish.
Yeah.
Ponds are tricky. The first one I built out here was a failure, and it screwed up. So then I had to redo it. I completely had to take it apart. But then I learned about ponds.
Mhm.
So it's fun.
Yeah.
So what else is going on?
Actually, I'm drinking a lot of shiwutsi.
Oh yeah, I just had some while the show was going on.
Yeah, and this is really good stuff. I really, really enjoy it. And it's been giving me a lot of energy because, I haven't had energy in a while. So that's really, really helping me out a lot.
Yeah.
That really gives you a real good jump. So I'm going to have to order some more from you guys soon. But
I just ordered 100 bottles in.
Really?
Probably.
Cool.
I get 100 bottles at a time, and then it's not cheap. And then we sell about, they'll sell about 75 of them, and I'll drink about 25 of them over a period of time.
I drink
a bottle of shawutsi every week.
Wow, that's pretty good. I still have 3 bottles left. I had about, 7 or 8 bottles, so I've been working on them for the last, the last time I got them from you, when I was there.
Yeah,
and then I bought some more, but it's really good stuff. I mean, I'm so glad that you have that in this book. I mean, it's just fabulous.
Did I bring shawutsi in the book?
Oh yes,
I can't even remember why I wrote in this book. It's my life, as I'm working on the QBAM, you know, the quantum biological healing or administrating machine. I'm into that now, and I forgot the book was another project in the past. It was a whole year of writing and 4 years of research. So now I'm in the QBAM, and then I've got my studio. We're hooking it up here now.
Mm.
So we've been a little busy.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'm glad you remind me.
Well, I can't wait to get out there. I got to see your place.
Oh, you're going to love this place.
Yeah.
But get a load of this.
Yeah.
I'm so blessed to be here, you know.
I
don't know. It's just, I just fell into this place. I had no idea I could ever be in a place like this. It's just, it's beautiful. And it was meant to happen, you know, because, the price tag of a place like this up in L.A. or somewhere, it's not in my league, it's in Tiger Woods' league. But here, you know, in this area that time forgot, you know, it's pretty cool.
Well, can I read an article here about...
Yeah, go ahead.
This is what you said in about Shaoozi. I have used Shaoozi personally for years. It produces a tremendous euphoric feeling as it balances the body chemistry perfectly and is also a very good liver cleanser, as well as other organs. It can also be classified as an aphrodisiac or an elixir.
Yeah.
It's been around for thousands of years and is one of the best-kept secrets in the herbal world. And I know I feel a lot better from drinking it, so it's just an amazing product. And
How much can you drink at one time now?
Pardon me?
How much can you actually drink at one time now?
Probably about 3-4 ounces.
That's pretty good, 3 or 4 shots, and your liver's in good shape.
Yeah.
How much did you start drinking?
Probably a tablespoon.
Oh, so you really increased the dosage.
Oh, yeah. Big time. But I'll drink a good 2-3 ounces.
I'll tell you a little story.
Yeah.
I ran out of this stuff, right?
Right.
And so that was a while back. And,
right.
Maybe August, September. And so I didn't have any for a month. Because
right.
it costs a lot of money to buy 100 bottles. It ain't cheap. You know, I had to
right,
save up for
right.
that because I get it wholesale, but it's still, you know,
sure.
a lot of money. And then we have to go get it on top of that because they don't ship.
Right.
It's too heavy. It's very heavy.
Right.
So I didn't have any for a month. And normally I probably drink in one evening. I don't drink it every night, but when I do, pretty much every other night it gets drank. I drink about 3 or 4 shots, maybe 5.
Right.
Oh, when it showed up, the first night I had 3 or 4 shots, and boy, did that make me sick the next day. Because I was
really.
Oh yeah, because your liver builds up a lot of toxins, okay, that you're not aware of.
Right.
And Shaoozi cleans it out, and if you detox too fast, it'll produce a hangover. In other words, a headache the next day, and you won't feel too good.
Right.
That's exactly what happened because I hadn't done it in almost a month, maybe a month and a half.
Wow. Yeah, I take mine. I've been doing mine slow for about the last year, and I just keep on drinking a little bit more each time. And I think 3 ounces is about as much as I can take.
Yeah.
You're gonna
be sitting on the can the next day a little bit more than normal, and you might have a bit of a headache. And the headache is just toxin release. You don't want to release too many toxins.
Right.
Same time with the polygallon multiforum, which is the main ingredient, the Fotai ginseng and Gotokoa, there's enough ginseng in there and enough Fotai in there to give you one heck of an aphrodisiac high. It's a miniature acid trip or a mushroom trip, but it's not a drug. It's an herb.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a mushroom could be considered an herb. That was obviously not, but it's euphoric. But it produces an enlightening process in the brain.
Right.
And you start channeling or you do whatever you do spiritually, it opens up a lot of blockages that people get. And so the interesting thing about it is I work with the importer on it, and the FDA has tried to classify it, but they can't because they can't figure out what it is. They just know that the Vietnamese, the Chinese, and the Japanese buy a hell of a lot of it from the stores out here that sell it, you know?
Right, right, right.
And us Americanas, we buy 100 bottles at a time, you know, that's 10 cases. And we've been doing that for 15 years.
Yeah.
So the FDA doesn't know what to do with it.
Right,
they tried to call
right.
it a cooking wine. They call it all kinds of different things. And
right.
None of that. It's an herbal tonic.
Well, it works for me. I've just done it slowly, and I think it's 2 or 3 ounces is what I drink at a time. But
yeah,
I don't
bottle
drink
lasts
it all.
How often do you drink it? Every day?
No. I drink it every 3-4 days, something.
Yeah,
like.
So you get really high off of it, and the high stays with you for a few days.
Actually, I feel better when I drink it. You know, I feel stronger.
Yeah.
And
I mean, doesn't it give you like a buzz that lasts 2 or 3 days?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It does give me a buzz.
Yeah,
I didn't know how to say that, but it is a buzz. I presume it's a buzz because
and then when
high.
It wears off, you drink some more.
Yeah.
The buzz is, you know what the buzz is, really? The buzz is your body has been purified. And
really?
That's how high
okay, that's cool.
Feeling. Yeah, it's getting all the toxins out of the air, crap out, your radiation. It remember, in the way the reason I fell into this stuff is back in Japan when they had the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, people
mm-hmm.
didn't get affected by the radiation that were close to the blast. They were taking this. They were drinking this stuff. This is very
wow.
they were drinking. Yeah.
That's
so,
amazing.
Yeah, they were up close and people around them were dying and 30 miles away were dying from radiation and the guys were drinking this had no problem. And that's how I found
that's,
it.
That's incredible.
It produces electrolytes. It's full of electrolytes.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. But I'll drink it every 3 or 4 days. Sometimes I'll drink an ounce. Some days I'll drink, you know, some days I'll take maybe 2. And then when I feel really weak, I take 3. And I just drink it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, quiet. Buddy's still on my shoulder here. Buddy Boo.
Is he?
See,
cool.
When you were talking about the Andromedas, remember how he was talking and everything?
Yeah.
Now he's real quiet because we're just talking, you know, more mundane stuff.
Yeah.
As soon as we start talking about Andromedas and stuff, he'll start going off again.
That's why
I raise parrots because they know when the extraterrestrials are around here, you know?
Really?
Yeah, they know.
Really?
Yeah, they go
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah. That's really incredible. They're beautiful people. I mean, they haven't. I don't know if they've talked to me or not. I think they might be doing it where I can't hear them because I know I'm changing, and there's a lot of things that are changing. But they've been around me for a while now, and I feel that they're protecting me from something, but I don't know what they're protecting me from. So I just don't know, Fred. I don't know if it's a government or whatever the case.
No, the government's not a problem with that. They like us.
Okay, so it feels like they're protecting me. Maybe they're just protecting me, period.
Well, how's your health doing?
Health is doing better. I'm up to about a mile walking in the malls. You can't walk outside anymore. It's too damn cold. So I walk in the malls like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning sometimes.
Yeah. I used to go up to Ontario, Canada all the time.
Right.
And do a show. And all of the malls and all the whole town is hooked together by tunnels over the street.
Yes.
Pulled up there, north of Lake Erie, you know.
It's
right
actually, it's in Toronto. They have more shops underground than they have above ground.
Yeah. And
it's really amazing.
Yeah, I don't like that extreme change.
Yeah. The Dead Sea Scrolls are in Toronto now, so that'll be interesting to go see.
Got
to
go up and read them.
Well, I don't know how to read it, so.
Well, you're Jewish.
Yeah, but I still don't know how to read it.
You better get some buzz spa here on this, you know.
So, you know, I've been having a lot of fun with everything that I have here. Even my Star Orb, it's just fabulous. I mean, everything is firing up pretty good these days, so I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, good.
You know, it's really fabulous. And the nuclear receptor, wow, that's really something else. You know who's got the prettiest one I've ever seen is your future bride.
Oh, really?
She has
Michelle?
Got the prettiest one I have ever
she's
seen.
Oh, yeah, she's got a beautiful one.
Yeah.
We made a few, like, you know, she has a triangular pyramid-shaped stone in the center. Yeah, it's a stunning piece.
Right. And then she
has some really cool bridges, though. And the bridges really affect the energy, too, you know.
Well, I have the bridge. I've got a bridge with diamonds, and I have a diamond in there, and it really, it affects it tremendously. I mean, the energy of it is really, you can, well, what I can do, I can get behind the necklace and actually watch the stones fire, so it's really a lot of fun to watch. I mean, for me, it is. And, you know, so it's really beautiful, but she's got the prettiest one I've ever seen. I think the stones in the bottom part are either pyramids or small little hearts. And I think that they're either red or they're, blue sapphire, but it's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
And really, really pretty. Whoever did that did a beautiful job.
Yeah, that's our jeweler boy. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's a sharp guy.
He spent $15,000 of his own money when we retooled because he believed in this project. Of course, he's got his money back now.
Right, sure.
But it cost a lot. We, you know, this is a new one, the new design, everything.
Yeah. Well,
How's your show doing anyway?
My show's doing good. I got, when I was on it, not last weekend because I couldn't get on there. I was doing some other stuff. But I'm getting a 37, 38. So I'm doing pretty good for the first couple
times. Oh,
that's
real good, considering you're not doing a video. If you start a video, it'll go three times that.
You think?
Oh, I know.
Okay. And
plenty on BBS, and I got a 79 on the other one right now.
Wow, beautiful.
Well, that you don't know how many connections. I mean, that's connections. You don't know how many people that is, but that's because one area, you know, one area somewhere in the world is one connection, and then it goes out and branches out to many, many computers. So you don't know.
Right.
Get up around 200. I know when you get up to the highest 200. I often run 125, 150. Mm-hmm. When you get up 200, it overloads the BBS radio line.
Wow.
That's what tens of thousands of people are watching them. So you don't really know what's going on until you get those numbers.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we got some new shows that are on that are pulling those kind of numbers, so they had to put in more line. You know, they have to speak up their servers or whatever, you know.
That's great. Tomorrow night, actually Saturday night, I'm going to be discussing the nuclear receptor and the amount of power that I felt over it. You know, the gold has got a tremendous amount of power in it, and the diamonds and the bridge, it's so beautiful, Fred. It just works. I mean, you can actually, well, at least I can do myself as I see things spinning. So it's really incredible. It's so much fun.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
You know, it's...
You know what? We're running out of time.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't believe how quick an hour goes around here.
Wow.
Buddy Boo, what do you think? Oh. Buddy, you're taking the hat out.
That's great. Okay, well, thank you so much for allowing me to be on the show. I feel so honored.
Yeah, when's Christmas, anyway?
Next weekend. I think it's next Friday.
Next Friday?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so then we'll probably next week then... I'm just going to run a canned show on Christmas Eve.
Okay, I'm looking at my calendar. Today is the what? Today is the 13th, 14th.
18th,
I think it's the 15th. Yeah, next week, Friday, is the 25th. So Christmas is actually starts the 24th, isn't it? Basically at nighttime.
I've got to go look. It's my calendar. This is our second Christmas out here in Fallbrook, you know. And It's amazing, you know. It's amazing how quick this last year went.
You bet.
And
you bet.
So anyway, next week I'll just plan on doing a canned show because I'll probably be doing some last minute Christmas shopping.
Okay, Fred. Thank you so much for allowing me to be your co-host. I just feel so honored.
Well, the one that really is enjoying this is Buddy Boo. He really thinks you're cool.
Great.
So anyway, give me your phone number out. I'll give
My phone number is 585-746-8321. I'll be on Saturday night at 6 p.m. Looking forward to seeing you guys.
Yeah, and I'll have my can show as usual, and my number is 1-800-729-2603, 1-800-729-2603, and you newbies out there, type in Dr. Fred Bell in the Google search engine. Give you all the particulars to reach us and what we do.
Take care.
So you've been listening to another Steve Barris Show. I'm Dr. Fred. All right, I'll catch you in 2 weeks, man.
Take care, man.
All right.